Thank you. You've got your Bibles. You can turn to 1 Thessalonians, the last chapter, chapter 5. And today we are finishing up 1 Thessalonians. How many of you like to get letters from people? Anybody? How many do you generally read it all the way through, or do you scan it? Where are you at? It probably depends on what kind of letter you get. If the letter's from somebody looking for money, you don't read it very long and throw it in the garbage, don't you? I know how it works. However, if the letter's from somebody you know who's important in your life, you read every last word of it. And sometimes the best stuff is at the end of the letter. P.S., right? I love you, or I will see you soon, or from grandma, I've enclosed a check. Amen? That's always nice, isn't it? Well, I want you to know we've invested 11 weeks in our study of this letter of Paul. He sent it to the Thessalonians, but here we are at the end, but he sent it to the church. I still think there's some important information that Paul is conveying to us at the end of this letter, and I do not want you to miss it. The P.S. is not a postscript. It is powerful scripture. Amen? So hang in there with me today as we close out this letter. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Heavenly Father, once again, we are amazed that we have a letter from so long ago, spoken by the Holy Spirit through the handwriting of Paul. So today, we don't want to miss the postscript, the powerful scripture preserved for us. So Lord, let our hearts be open once again to hear what the Spirit is saying to us individually and to the church. Amen. I love the way Paul gets ready to close his letter. Listen to these words again. May God himself, the God of peace. Church, I want you to know God wants to be a part of your life. God himself. God wants to work in your life, and we cannot forget that he is the God of peace. God wants to work in you. Isaiah 26, verse 3 tells us, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. How many would like to be in perfect peace? I have an answer for you. Trust in the Lord. Keep your thoughts toward him. Church, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, and God will keep our hearts at peace. Now, listen as we continue to read what God wants to do in you. He says, may God himself, the God of peace, do what? Sanctify you through and through. There's a completeness he's trying to talk about here. Back in chapter 4, if you remember, Paul brought up this same thought regarding sanctification. Again, to sanctify means to set apart. Sanctification is a process of becoming more like Jesus Christ. In fact, to sanctify is rooted in the Greek word holy. When something was sanctified, it was made holy and devoted to God's service, set apart for God. And Paul is praying for God himself to make us as believers holy. Basically, Paul is praying that God will help us become more like Jesus. And Peter writes in his letter to the churches these words in 1 Peter 1, "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy." Verse 16 says, "For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy." Church, we need to be sanctified through and through. Is there anybody who doesn't need to be sanctified? All of us do. All of us need to be made holy. So here's the question: how can that happen in our lives? Well, I want to give you today three principles, three ways that we can allow God to work in us and allow us to be holy. The first principle, though, we need to work on is this: honor Christ. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Honor Christ in what we are and in all we do. All I am and everything I do. Listen to verse 23 again. "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul says, listen, I want you to be set apart completely, through and through is the way he puts it. Paul is saying that we need to belong to God in spirit, soul, and body. Now listen to Mark chapter 12, where Jesus talks to us about loving God completely. Here's what he says in verse 30. "And you must love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength." I believe the point that Paul is trying to make is the same as Jesus declared here in Mark. We are to honor God with every part of our life. Love him, honor him in who we are, what we're doing. Listen, heart, soul, and mind is what happens internally, and then with your strength, it takes place outside of me. Now, an important message for a couple of reasons that I believe this is here for us. The first thought I need you to understand, this counters a tendency to compartmentalize our faith. In other words, believe it or not, there are some people who are Christian when they're at church and worldly for the rest of the week. I know you can't believe that could happen, but we tend to compartmentalize. Boy, I'm going to be really good and look good and do the right things when I walk in church. But you know what? Nobody really sees me the rest of the week. Church, you need to be sanctified through and through. Church, our life in Christ is a full-time call. In fact, when we get to January, I'm going to do two messages about your call. I want to talk to you about your calling, and we're going to look at that in January. I believe Jesus wants to be Lord of all. Lord of Sunday through Saturday. In fact, listen to the Colossians 3:17. "Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you say or act out, do what? All." Some of it on Sundays, whatever you do in word and deed. No. Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul says in Acts 10:36, here's what he says: "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is what? Lord of all." The good news is that Jesus wants to be Lord of your entire life. I said this last week. God wants to redecorate your life. And if you'll let him live long enough in your heart and your life will be changed. In fact, the Bible consistently points to this fact, and you've heard it before. If Jesus is not Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. He has to be Lord of everything. Now, there's a second reason we need to love God with everything we are and everything we do. And it's this reason, not just to stop compartmentalizing, but it will negate the notion that salvation is just a one-time issue. Salvation is ongoing. Salvation happens because of our faith, faith in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and then our belief in his resurrection and the grace that we receive from his sacrifice on our behalf. Faith is not simply an agreement that we make with God, you died for me and I received that provision. Saving faith is entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You understand that? Some people just want to go, well, I believe. But then there's no works that comes out of it. James tells us that if you're saved, your faith will produce works. Not so you can be saved, to show you are. Trusting in Jesus is really about a whole new alignment in our life. Having a passion for living for Jesus, ongoing and continual. I don't know if you've heard, I know you've probably heard of C.S. Lewis. He wrote a book called Mere Christianity. And I have a quote that I want to read to you out of his book. It says this. He writes, "When I was a child, I often had a toothache. And I knew if I went to my mother, she would give me something which would deaden the pain for that night and let me get to sleep. But I did not go to my mother, at least not till the pain became very bad. And the reason I did not go was this. I did not doubt she would give me the aspirin, but I knew she would also do something else. I knew she would take me to the dentist the next morning. I could not get what I wanted out of her without getting something more, which I did not want. I wanted immediate relief for my pain, but I could not get it without having my teeth set permanently right. And I knew those dentists. I knew they would start fiddling about with all sorts of other teeth which had not yet begun to ache." Like it or not, our Lord Jesus is like a dentist. Dozens of people go to him to be cured for a particular problem. And he can cure the problem, but he will not stop there. God's not simply content to remove your pain. He wants to deal with the true problems of your life, your heart, your mind, and your soul. That's why the Bible talks about holiness, our sanctification. And that means two different ways. Let me make sure I'm clear today. First, there is positional sanctification. Hebrews 10:10 says, "We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time." Through Jesus Christ, God declares his church holy. The issue is settled. The debt is paid. Positionally, through Jesus Christ, we are made holy so that when Jesus returns, we are seen as holy through Jesus, our Savior. But while here on earth, there's a second type of sanctification going on, progressive sanctification. In Philippians 2:12, Paul says, "Therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." In other words, we should be looking at God's word and applying his word to every part of our lives as we strive to live for his kingdom purpose. And we have to do so with deep reverence for God and for his word. Ephesians 4:29 makes it very practical and shows us that the changes that should be taking place in our life. Listen to verse 29 of Ephesians 4. "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. I've kind of told you, and some of you, and maybe you remember, maybe you don't, but I got really, really saved when I was 8. I know it sounds awful young, but I probably got saved hundreds of times prior to that, and I have rededicated hundreds of times since then. But that particular night in July of 1972, I remember going to an altar and really saying, God, I want you to change my life. Because I got involved with a group of guys in the neighborhood at 8 years old, and I tell you, I had the filthiest mouth for 2 weeks. I mean, just as an 8-year-old boy, to rattle out as many filthy things as I could say. Oh, not on Sunday, but every other day. And the Holy Spirit got hold of my heart and said, that's not what I want for you. And I remember going to that altar that night and saying, Lord, I don't want that. I want to be changed. And that night, I really got saved. And I can tell you, and I've made this testimony, but since that day, I would say only one curse word has come out of my mouth. And some of you, it might not even be a curse word. But I just didn't want abusive language. I remember in 10th grade, somebody called me a name, and I flipped around and called them a name in that hallway, and the Holy Spirit stopped me right there. He said, you apologize, and I did. And since I've guarded, because the Holy Spirit has helped me to do that, so that my words are helpful. So my words are an encouragement now to those who hear them. Listen, church, he wants to change you. Listen to verse 31 as Paul goes on. Get rid of all bitterness. Let me ask, has anybody ever experienced bitterness? Come on, how many are going to be honest? Come on. I've got my hand raised because I didn't know what bitterness was until I got in ministry. And all of a sudden, bitterness started getting in my heart. But I'll tell you, because of this is being recorded. This is online. Welcome, onliners. I want to guard this. But it was in church, and I got bitter against somebody in my heart. And I'm like, Lord, what is this? And the Lord had to work that out of me. You're thinking, well, a pastor shouldn't do that. Well, I'm not just a pastor, I'm people. And people, we walk through stuff that causes things in our hearts and our lives that God says, I don't want it there, I want to work it out. Church, we need to get rid of bitterness, he says, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as, let me just cover them all, as all types of evil behavior, right? But what is he wanting to do? Verse 32, instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Church, that's change. That's what God wants to do in us. Church, I don't live my life in comparison to you or to anybody else. I live my life in comparison to God's word. That's what I want to compare. Am I living up to the way he's calling me to live up? And as we do that, our hope and our trust is that he will change us and he will work in and through us and mold us to be what he wants us to be. Amen. So, church, let's work on applying his word to our hearts, to our thinking, and to the way we live our lives. Amen? In fact, this is nothing more than what Paul has been urging us to do throughout his entire letter. Go back, and if you read the entire letter, he's just like, listen, I want you to be like Christ. I want you to grow. He's coming, and I want you to be like him. Why? We want to make ourselves ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Amen? We're the church. We're the bride. Listen to verse 23 again. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body, and here it is, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to continue to progress in our Christ-like lifestyle. Why? First, so I can honor God. Secondly, I can be an example to others. And third, I'll be ready when he comes for his bride, when he comes for his church. Amen? So, say it with me. Let's work to do what? Let's put it up there for me, that next slide. Honor Christ in all we are and in all we do. You're not awake this morning. Come on, wake up. Ready? Here we go. Honor Christ in all we are and in all we do. Living to have that Jesus-filled week, that Jesus-filled day, living every moment Jesus-filled. Amen? A second way we can grow, I believe, is this. Trust completely in God, not yourself. Trust completely in God, not yourself. Notice verse 24. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The one who called you is faithful. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't put you aside. He is right there being faithful, and he says, he will do it. God will do it. Church, God's not left us alone. God does not expect us to achieve holiness and righteousness in our own strength. We don't have the strength to become holy in ourselves. God is the one who wants to work in us. And God has given us his Holy Spirit to do that in us. Listen to some things that Jesus has to say. John 14, 26, Jesus tells the disciples, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Have you ever had scripture come back to your thinking? You know, that's the Holy Spirit. Whenever the Word of God comes alive, or have you ever read the Word of God and it's like, wow, I've never seen that before. That's the Holy Spirit making that Word live. Listen to Acts 1:8, what Jesus says again, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus declares in John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Paul tells us in Romans 8, 26, and the Holy Spirit will help us in our weaknesses. That's because we're weak, amen? For example, he says, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Church, there are times I go to prayer and I'm like, I'm going to pray for the church, but I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to pray. So I just begin to pray in the language that he's given me, and I just thought, the Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit just begins to pray, and I just let him begin to pray. And I don't know why tears will flow through my eyes. I just give myself to that, to say, God, I want you to have your way. You know what needs to happen. You know these people. And then in the midst of that, at times he'll bring up a thought. And I'm like, oh, Lord, yeah, that couple, Lord, would you just watch over them? And I come back to my English and pray for people, but I've just learned, let the Holy Spirit do it. He knows I'm weak, but he makes me strong because all of a sudden the Holy Spirit knows what the mind of the Lord is. The church is the Holy Spirit that will guide us and comfort us and equip us. He does it with spiritual gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go read about the 9 gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to work in you. Also, he wants to develop that Christ-like character in us, like the fruits of the Spirit that are found in Galatians chapter 5. Let those begin to be produced in you. But we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. We've got to put our trust in God, not ourselves. Like we were told, God is faithful, and he will do it. He will work in us, and he does it through his Holy Spirit. Don't ever think the Holy Spirit isn't God. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So, church, we need to honor Christ in all that we are and in all that we do, and we need to trust completely in God, not yourself. The third principle is this: value the significance of prayer. Paul closes his letter with several requests. He says, brothers and sisters, pray for us. I'll come back to that. He says, greet all people, God's people, with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters, and I'm glad that we've done this together. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Besides just praying, Paul tells the church you need to greet each other warmly. To do it with a kiss, he says. That would have been the cultural thing of that day. It would be like us shaking hands or hugging necks. Now, I know we've been guarded to not do that at this moment, but I'm telling you, the day's coming where, church, we need to do this. Amen? Maybe not with a kiss, but we need to greet each other warmly. Paul says, also, I want the letter to be read to everybody, the whole church. And I'm glad we've done this. I'm glad we've taken 11 weeks to read through it. I don't know how much Bible reading you do, but it's been in my heart for several years now that I just feel like people do not read the Bible. And I'm like, I need to read it with you. And we need to walk through it together. And in fact, I've got a couple of messages I'm going to do near the beginning of the year. And then we're going to go to 1 Peter. I think there's some things we need to see that Peter writes to the church. And we're going to be walking through that. So, church, I'm glad that you hear this letter, but don't just be hearers of it. Be doers. Amen? His first request, though, I believe tops them all when he says, pray for us. I want you to know Jesus understood the importance of prayer. In fact, in the Gospels, we're told several times Jesus spent all night praying. Church, prayer is our lifeline to the Father. And if we are going to really grow to be like Jesus, we've got to learn to pray like Jesus. Prayer puts us in touch with the heart of our Father. It helps us renew our focus. It opens our hearts to the work of God's Spirit. And so we need to begin to understand the truth of what Jesus said when he said this in John 15:5. He says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Church, there is this connection that we've got to have. Because he goes on to say, for apart from me, you can do nothing. We need Jesus in our life. Church, our strength is not found in the programs we have. It's not found in our talents that we do. It's not even in the sharing of a message with you. Church, our strength is in the Lord. Only God can change a heart, church. Only God can generate faith. Only God can bring fruit out of our labor. Only God can empower true ministry. Only God is truth. So we need to get connected to him. Apart from the Lord, we're like a car without an engine. You might look good on the outside, but you are powerless on the inside. That's why we've got to learn to pray. Pray to God, and then you can learn how to pray for others. There's not a single person in this room today, or even listening online, that does not need our prayers. It's important that we pray for those who are going through crisis. God can strengthen people and uphold them, even though they go through horrific circumstances. God can still heal, restore, deliver, and set people free. Prayer is powerful, church. And we need to pray. We need to pray that God will shield us from evil. that he will keep us from temptation, that we'll be able to resist those things. And also he will develop an appetite within us for his presence and his anointing and his glory to abide in our lives. Church, we need to pray for each other. And like Paul prayed, I pray, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, body, or soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That's what I pray. Church, we've got to keep our eye on the prize. Our objective is not to become religious. That's not why we come and fellowship together. Our purpose is to have a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and our soon-coming King. Our challenge, though, is to follow him more closely today than we did yesterday, and more closely tomorrow than we did today. Amen? If we lose sight of our purpose, it might cause somebody to miss the finish line. And I don't want anybody to miss the finish line. It's like what the old hymn declares, the finish line is full of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Would you bow your heads for a moment? This morning, I don't want anybody to miss the finish line. The finish line of our life, you need to know Jesus. And if you've not invited him to be Lord of your life, he wants to be Lord of your life today. But he wants to be Lord of your entire life. And I'm just going to ask you, if you just slip your hand up and say, you know what, I need to invite Jesus to be Lord of my life. Maybe I need to rededicate my life today. I want him to be master over everything. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up and you can put it right back down. I'm just looking across the building. Yes, I see that. If anybody, any others, just don't want to miss anybody. Because I want to make sure we're all saying, listen, I'm moving forward. Would you just pray with me for those that lifted their hands? Just everybody say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to be Lord of my life. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And I ask you to fill me with your Spirit, so I can live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And whether online or in this room, listen, we just reset everything and said, you know what? I'm going to let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to my life. I'm going to let him begin to work in me and grow me. Why, church? Because I keep saying it, but I'm going to put it with a different word at the end this week. I want you to have a Jesus-filled life. It isn't just about the moment or the week, though we live it by moment. The church, when we get to the finish line, I want him to look at your life and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not because I was perfect, but because I was continually after him. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Keep working in us. Keep growing us. We love you and have your way in all we do and say, I pray. Amen. God bless you and pray you have a great week. Next Sunday is our Christmas blessing, and we're going to do all three services and invite you to come. We're going to be honoring by video some of our home missionaries. And it's going to be a great week. So looking forward to seeing you next Sunday. We've only got two more Sundays this year. And then we get to start 2021. Nobody wants to even dream what 2021 will be like. But but it can have Jesus leading the way. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.